Halacha Dalet, Ois Yudalet. It's also page Yudalet, the left-hand column. Rav Nosson Zal is still explaining the incident with Yaakov Avinu, the vision he had with the ladder, with the angels going up and down, and then what happens afterwards with the sheep, with Lavan's sheep, how they selected when they decided to divide and split up the possessions, how Yaakov Avinu took his portion and Lavan took his portion. This is the concept of spotted, speckled, and striped. This refers to colors. This symbolizes the spectrum of colors, which we learned way, way, way back that's one of the manifestations of Hashem's greatness. We spoke about money, gold and silver, that the colors in money represent Gedula Saboire. And here also, the fact that it says by Yaakov Avinu that he saw this vision in which he saw the sheep and he saw this speckled and striped and this is also the Shaydezeh Machniin Koyach HaMedame Koyach HaBehemius Shehem Bechinas Tsoin Lovon. That's how, through the revelation of Gedula Saboire, that gives you the ability to be Machnia the Medame, which represents the Lavan sheep, the behemois of Lavan, umevarim hatoiv, and we extract out and select out the good, shehem chinas tsoin kochim, which is the holy sheep, tsoin Yaakov, the sheep of Yaakov Avinu, bechinas voetein tsoini, tsoin marisi, odomatem. There's a pasuk where Hashem says, I will put forth my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. They are called Odom. They are called man. In other words, referring to the ones who have perfected the Medame. Valyidei hagavnin, and through these colors. Shaydeze machnien hamedame, with which we're machnien the Medame. Aydeze zoichen elasechel b'shleimos. When a person is machnien the Medame, the zoiche that their sechel should have a shleimos to it. Shehu sechel b'koyach, v'sechel b'poyal, v'sechel hanikne. And we've learned in this chapter in Likutei Moran that this is based on Torah Chof Hei, that Sechel B'Shleimus means three sections to the Sechel. We called it Sechel B'Koyach, which meant theory, when something is only a hazy concept, and Sechel B'Poyal meant when the thing is actually brought out into action, and Sechel HaNikne represented a certain concept of being able to combine many different pieces of knowledge to use the combination of all of them to construct something spectacular. V'zeh gam kein b'chinas akudim nekudim uvrudim. This is also the reason why Yaakov Avinu gave three examples of the technicolor, of the light show. Shehem b'klal kol ha-moichin v'asichlius. These three symbolize the full spectrum of moichin and sechel. Shehem klal kol ho'ilomois v'shtal shilusam me'roish hatsoif. They summarize the full gamut of all the worlds that Hashem created from top to bottom. Shekulam nishavu al yidei chochmos yisbarach shmoi, which were all created through Hashem's wisdom. As the pasuk says, "Kulam b'chochma sisa." Hashem created everything with chochma, and chochma is divided into these three sections: sechel b'koyach, sechel b'poyel, sechel anikne, which are symbolized by akudim, nekudim, uvrudim. These three types of colors. Ki isa be'etz chayim, because it's brought in the writings of the Arizal, shetchilas shoyresh ha'atzilus, v'chol ma shenishav shom. Nikre b'shem oylam ha'akudim. The Arizal in his forum has a discussion giving names to the different worlds that Hashem has created, and he refers to the uppermost section of creation, which is called the oylam ha'atzilus, and the things that are attached to it, they are referred to as the oylam ha'akudim, the world of akudim. V'yachakach nimshach oyrois hazayin malchen kadmoin demisu. Then the Arizal discusses the light of the seven kings that died. There's a place in the Chumash at the end of Parshas Vayishlach where it discusses seven kings who took over leadership of the world to an extent. And then it says, first this king ruled, then he died and his son took over, then this king died and his son took over. Hadad ben Bedad and Mehetavel, all kinds of funny names over there. And the Zohar Kodesh shows that little paragraph at the end of Parshas Vayishlach has in it the basics of which the whole Kabbalah is based on. The description of the different worlds in heaven and everything is hidden in the names of those seven kings, supposedly, that died. It's talking about a much deeper concept. So after this Olam HaKudim comes the second level down, which is this section of these seven kings that died. Ki hoyo bohem miso ushvira. They represent a lower level where there was a potential for death or breakage. The Arizal explains that whenever the word death is used in Kabbalah, it refers to something dropping a level. When something gets dropped down a level, that's called vayomos. When it says vayomos over there, it means he was lowered in stature. Just like the Gemara says that when a guy loses his wealth, Oni choshet kemeis. When Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go back to Egypt because dosna, your enemies are dead, it says they lost their wealth, so they lost their power, you know, by paro. Paro won't respect their opinion anymore. V'zeo b'chinas oylam hanekudim. That's the second world that's called the oylam hanekudim. V'achaka choyo oylam hatikun. Then after that came the oylam hatikun. Shaydeze iker hisavus vikium kol hoylomois mitchilas atzilus ad soifu asiya. From that came the place where all the different action takes place, which affects the maintenance and the being of all the worlds from top to bottom. Vze bechinas brudim. That's the third section down. That's the lowest section, which is called the oylam habrudim. And the Arizal in his forum has chapters explaining each one of, you know, giving his information on each one of these three. Umei elu hashloisha bechinois shehem akudim nekudim uvrudim nimshach v'nishtalshel bechinas hagimel bechinas sheyesh besechel. Now it's Rav Nosenzal talking. From these three types of worlds that the Arizal discusses, when this spirals down to the planet Earth, or to the Am Yisrael, this takes on the format of the three sections to the brain, or the three types of sechel that a Jew is capable of mastering, which are plugged into these three levels of worlds, which are Shem Sechel B'Koyach, V'Sechel B'Poyal, and Sechel HaNikne, those three sections. Rav Nosenzal explains now, Ki Sechel B'Koyach, when a Jew has only the ability to conceptualize, to think on a level that's abstract, ze bechinas akudim. That corresponds to what the Arizal calls oylam ha'akudim. Sheshom ein shum hasoga. That's the world in which we have no tangible understanding in. Ki hu koidem hu atzilus. It's before atzilus. It's above atzilus. Shven umishom nimshach bechinas sechel bekoyach. That's where a Jew gets the ability to conceptualize in an abstract level, in a sense. V'achar kach moitzim hasechel mikoyach alapoel. And then, if the Jew is zeche, he brings that abstract sechel, that undefined, unbound sechel, he brings it into poyal. V'oz nisavina zayin molochem kanal. And then these seven kings come into being. Shehem shoresh hazayin midois. They represent the origin and the basis for the seven qualities of Hashem: Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Shehem, Bechinas, Zayin, Yemei, Habinyan, which correspond to the 7 days of creation: Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, you know, etc., etc. Avol Shom Yesh Adayin Bechinas Shvira, but on that level there still exists this potential for breakage. Because it's impossible for a person to clarify the sechel right away. Now Rav Nosenzal is going to go off now into explaining how a person develops a new idea, a new concept. A person invents a new concept or something like that, or especially baruchnius. How a rabbi is zeche to come forth with chidushei Torah. Rav Nosenzal was the author of this Sefer Likutei Halachos, and one of the things that comes up here many times is you see brand new chidushim that he brings forth in Torah. He he's going to give us the mechanics of it right now. He's going to describe that it's not the thing that, but suddenly a guy gets a thought and he puts it on paper and gomarno. He's going to describe, you're going to see, it's a multi-step procedure. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, V'koidim shemoy lidim umechat shemei zedovor lamitoi, before a Jew is able to give birth to a new idea, to a new revelation in Torah, a new true revelation in Torah, tzrichim lahafchoy uleshavroy mitchila bekama bechinois. The person has to first spin it around and break it in several different ways. V'yahakach mevarim hashvorim. Then you take the broken pieces and you select out from them. Umechabrim oisam, and you combine parts of this broken thing. Umisaknim oisam al yidei toisvis hasechel chodosh shemamshichim, and the person puts them back together with the new wisdom that they were able to draw upon themselves. Ve'oz boinin umashlimim achidish almat kuntoi, and then the person builds and finishes up the concept to its final end. Kiyodua umuvan kolze, as is known, and as is very obvious to those, lemisha zeicha lechadesh chidushin, to those people who are zeicha to bring forth new ideas, whether, meaning anybody that has creativity, anybody that's creative in carpentry, or lahavdil in any other kind of concepts, or especially in Torah, knows that when the person comes out with this new image, it's usually 99.9, it's not a one-step procedure. What happens is the person has a concept. They get a concept. Then they take that concept and take it apart. They break it, and from the broken pieces of that concept, they think more deeply into it, and they come out with a second version, in a sense, which is made up from parts of the first concept, and they took the broken pieces of that and selected from that the choicest part. And with some additional sechel, they put this back together now to something that's new and wholesome that they feel solid about. And that's what they're ready to show. Now, this could apply to an architect who designs a new structure, or, you know, any aspect of creativity, especially creativity in Torah, Rav Nosson Zal says here.
The Rav last night say that a tailor, he has to take a completed piece of material and cut it up into pieces. And if you look at it before it's complete in its process, you say, what is this lunatic doing? He's ruining the material. And then if you see it's in the hands of a tailor, he'll take those so-called scraps, then he'll combine them in a new way and he'll say, what a fabulous suit.
This is a perfect example of what Rav Nosson Zal just said.
In a very serious danger, in the case of the physical world, if it's an architect reconstructing something, it's very simple because he's dealing with a medium that he understands.
Uh-huh.
But in the case of Torah, we're talking about the possibility of dimayon, the possibility of...
Watch! Here it comes! Oy afilu im enoy mechadesh biatzmoy. Even if we're talking about a person who's not actually creating, rak shema'ayin b'sforim u'meivin darchi achidush, but it's rather a person who learns sforim and understands a little bit how the new concepts that are presented in Sforim have been developed. Ki al pi roiv tzrichin mitchila loimar kama svorois. Because in the beginning, this, for example, a Shailen Tshuva Sforim, sometimes a rabbi has, Rabbi Avad Yosef, let's say, as an example, has a question sent him on halacha. And you see when he writes a tshuva, he writes a four-page answer to this halacha. He doesn't start with the answer. He starts off dissecting the question. And he starts off building. He builds a whole beautiful building where he presents the three or four major areas of halacha that are being included within this question. And he develops each one of those four areas, builds them, and then in the end shows how by connecting these four to a certain way, that's what serves as the basis for which we can come forth with a new concept which is going to be the solution to this question that was asked. It's a whole long process. So he says here, al piroi tzrichem etchila loimar kama svorois, person says several ideas, velivnois kama binyonim, and to build several buildings, she'eno miskaimin, which don't last, she'en yecholim levar al yodom ha'halocha v'achidish lamitosei, whereby through those buildings you can't come out with the proper solution to the question that the person had. This is the concept where it says that when Hashem created the world, He didn't get it on the first shot. Hashem built worlds and destroyed them. He made several drawings until He came forth with the final drawing, Kaviyachol. This is what's written about Hashem. Bechinas Shviras Hamalochim, Bechinas Oilam HaNekudim. This is talking about those seven kings that died. This is that second world, the Oilam HaNekudim, where this drafting stage, where you make, here again, the architect comes up with an idea. The idea is okay. He puts it on paper, and he likes part of it, he doesn't like part of it, he tears up that draft, he looks at that draft, he saves it, comes up with a second draft that has some of what the first draft had, but much better, then tears up the first draft. Looks at the second draft and sees something he doesn't like in it, some things he doesn't like in it, has to make a third draft using the second draft, and as soon as the third draft is completed, tears up the second draft, and so on and so forth, until he comes up with that final drawing. So it's a three-step procedure. Step one was the concept. Step two was that drafting step, where along the way he's tearing up, there's junk coming in there, which he realizes is not part of that first concept that he wanted, and then there's that final step of making it happen. This drafting and tearing up process takes place when the person tries to define the concept that they originally had, to bring it into action, to bring it mikoyach lapoel, shehu bechinas binyan olamos, which is the concept of creating worlds. Ki kulam bechachma sisa, because all the worlds that Hashem created, He created with wisdom. It started up in the brain as a concept. Then it's when you start defining it on paper or in whatever means you start actually making it, that's where you go through this shvira, these zayin malochim shemesu. V'yachakach, afal pi shekol hasvores v'asichli es shoytzi betchilo loy niskaimu. And then in the end, even though his first drawings, the first conceptions that he had of it, all ended up in the garbage. They had no kiyum. They did not end up being a fine part of the final product at all, in a sense. V'nishbru, afal pikein, tzrichen lechazik atzmayach hakach. Still, the architect has to strengthen himself. Or lahavdil, the rabbi who's being mechadish the Torah has to strengthen himself. Ulelakit ulevara mehem kamen akudos toivois, and to select from each one of his drafts the good points of those drafts. Some good ideas or good things that appear in each one of these drafts, and then add some additional sechel to it, and to combine it, and bring all of this together now, till the chiddush is completed and refined and it's ready to roll. Now this is Rav Nosson Zal telling you what he went through in writing these halachos and likutei halachos. That it's not just that he learned a piece of chumash, an idea came to his head and he just put it on paper. He had an idea. And at first the idea felt like something, but then when he started writing it or started thinking about putting it into writing, he saw that certain things were not part of the train. And he got rid of them throughout and held on to what he had to hold on to, and then added additional seichel, and then brought it all together, and that's the final product, that's the final result. Lahavdil, the same way an architect in drawing a building plan, that you see, if you go through that whole process from beginning, you see that there's a lot of, if you were able to look at the original drafts, you see that possibly most of what was in the original drafts ends up in the garbage. It's from each draft that he takes a piece and a piece, a piece, a piece, and then adds, and then after examining the pieces of good in each one of those first drafts, he then first adds an additional chunk of seichel and puts it all together to make a final bnia.
But that's based entirely upon his interpretation, conception. If he isn't expanded enough, he can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're saying if he's not expanded enough, he can't do this, or he has to go in this, he has to follow this process.
He's very limited. If we're talking about an art form,
yes.
If we talk about, if we, if our point, if our
We're talking about an adrichal preparing a building, a plan for a building. Yes. Oh, hold on a second. But the most talented guy and the least talented guy, Rav Nosson Zal says, has to go through some form of this process. Hashem created the world as akudim, nekudim, uvrudim. There's no such thing, just like the Zohar Kodesh says, there's no such thing as anything happening in this world unless it goes through machshava, dibur, maisa. What do you mean? I think I want to punch him out. I don't say a word about it, and I throw my fist in his face. I didn't talk about it at all. The Zohar Kodesh is not true. You didn't see, but your lips, something was said. Something was said that was the dibur for this maisa. Here also, when it comes to bringing forth a new concept into the world, whether it applies to bnia, designing a new building, or lahavdil, designing a chiddush in Torah, Rav Nosson Zal says that this is the process that happens. One guy is more talented or more knowledgeable, more experienced, so it happens by him faster, or he can skip some of this within each one of these three major phases. He can do phase two in one shot, where a dumber adrichal, phase two involves 7 drawings or 8 weeks, of, you know. What's the problem?
With Chidush is something else completely different. Creativity is one thing, but Chidush is a state of expansiveness. We know that people that come up with Chidushim in Torah,
yes,
they could be the biggest, they could be the craziest people, and their Chidushim are worth nothing.
Right.
In fact, their Chidushim
are from the other side. That we're not addressing yet which side it's from. But Rav Nosson Zal told you that you should know that this genius that you saw get up and suddenly present a chiddush, you should know that it didn't happen that way. It doesn't. You don't just burp out a new concept. If it's anything serious, it goes through these three phases.
Where does the person get the permission from, or let's say the bravery, or to say, look, I know nothing, but I'm going to take this piece, or it's troubling me, or something, I'm going to break it apart and see what I can rebuild. How does a person give themselves that permission to go through this process?
That's part of what smicha is all about. When a person has smichas chachomim, it means to an extent he's being given the authority to decide, you know, to address questions that are going to be presented to him, which are not necessarily literally what he's going to see in the Mishnah Berurah. But even if he could be presented with a question that's not literally found in the Mishnah Berurah or somewhere else, he has the presence of mind and the experience and the koyach hamedame to be able to know what to compare it to and come out with the right solution. Here again, each one on his level, each person on his level. Mm-hmm. Let's continue. V'zeh b'chinas oylam hatikun, b'chinat 3 lines up from the bottom. V'zeh b'chinas oylam hatikun, b'chinas oylam habrudim, v'zeh b'chinas hasechel hanikne, shehu ikr kiyim hadofer al mekol choynoi. This is that third step, which is the brudim, which is the final result of this whole thing. V'ayin be'etz chayim v'tovin. Rav Nosson Zal says, if you look in the writings of the Arizal, this sefer Eitz Chaim, he explains this on a Kabbalistic level, and you'll understand what Rav Nosson Zal is trying to transmit over here. We who don't know this sefer have to know again that we're limited to a degree in how well, how super clearly we can understand this, but we'll do the best we can on our level. V'yakov oso kamo tachbulois loze bekamo drochim. Yaakov Avinu had to go through all kinds of gyrations and do all kinds of things related to this. Ad shehimshich b'chinas hizgalos agavnin al edrei tzoyim kodshim shaloi. Until he succeeded in drawing this revelation of colors, this light show, onto his sheep. Kedei lahachmia mehem hamedame, in order by doing that to cure their koyach hamedame, and to bring them to Sechel. That's this whole story about Yaakov Avinu lining up the sheep and lining up these sticks, the 3 sticks, yeah, with the speckles and the stars, and having them look at that. What was that all about? The sheep represent the Yidden. Rav Nosson Zal is going to give a whole fantastic explanation now about how this relates to what the tzaddikim do for Bnei Yisrael. How the tzaddikim help Bnei Yisrael rid themselves of the wrong kind of medame and be zecher to a Sechel HaYosho. That's what he's going into right now. V'ze v'yikach lo Yaakov makal livne lach v'luz v'yarmoin. It says that Yaakov Avinu took stick, a white stick and a wet stick, and v'yifatzel bem, and he peeled the stick. Machsoif halovon asher la maklois. He got peeled certain stuff that was on the sticks and did etc. V'isa, it's brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah, sheze bechinas soid hatfilin, that what Yaakov Avinu was doing there was performing the mitzvah of tefillin. This concept of stripes, the ritzuis on the hand, which end up looking like stripes, and certain other things related to the tefillin, Yaakov Avinu was performing that mitzvah by making the stripes on these sticks. He was turning on the same lights in heaven that get turned on when a Jew puts on tefillin. Shehem klal ha-Torah, tefillin is one of the mitzvahs that summarizes the entire Torah. Shehuksha kula le-tefillin. The entire Torah is compared to the mitzvah of tefillin. Where do we see it? The Gemara learns out, there's a pasuk, Leman tiyeh Torah Hashem beficha, that the whole Torah should be in your mouth. And that pasuk is written by the mitzvah of tefillin, and the Gemara learns out from there that just like tefillin have to be written on parchment that comes from a behemoth Torah, a kosher animal, so too a Sefer Torah has to be written on parchment that comes from a kosher animal. So we see that there are several times in Halacha where the Gemara learns out the laws of Sefer Torah from tefillin. We learn out the whole Torah is compared to the mitzvah of tefillin in a sense. Hainu, Rav Nosson Zal explains here, Sheyakoi b'chinas hatzadik, shehu nekudas o'emes, Yaakov Avinu, who represents the tzadik, the one who is the epitome of truth, Himshich b'chochmo niflo kol hamoichin agdoishim bedrochim nifloim v'noiroim moid moid. He was able to draw the full spectrum of sechel of moichin in a wondrous, awesome way. Ad shehichnis hachochmo v'hasechel huemes b'toich hamoichin shel klal Yisrael. Until he succeeds in shining this seichel and everything into the brains of the entire Am Yisrael, sheyichnois hachochma vaseichel emes b'soicham, that this true wisdom should go into their brains heitev, really well, sheyovinu ho emes lamitoi, they should have the ability to be able to understand the ultimate truth, ad shelo yia koyach l'shum hato shel koyach hamedama b'chinas lovon lahaviro mizeh chas v'shalom, to make them so solid to the point where no lovon will be able to come along and mess them up in any way with his medama tricks, with all kinds of his tricks. V'zehu, this is what the pasuk means when it says vayatzek es hamaklois asher pitzel borohotim b'shikasos hamoyim, that Yaakov Avinu took the three sticks that he had peeled the bark from them, and he stood them up, he dug them in to the Shikasai Samoim, the places where the sheep came to drink water from. He stuck these three sticks deep into the mud, like, to stand them up for the sheep to be able to look at them when they came to drink water. One stick had a stripe on it, a dark stripe on it. One stick had speckles on it. The other stick was spotted. You know, these three. And when the sheep would come there to drink, they'd be looking at these three sticks pointed up there, and it would affect the children that were going to come out of them. That the sheep that they gave birth to were speckled, spotted. Because Lavan told him, all the normal sheep I get to keep. All the ones that have spots and stripes, that's yours, Yaakov. And Yaakov agreed to it. But Yaakov knew the formula how to make them specked and spotted and all of this stuff. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains. The word borohotim over there, it says that Yaakov Avinu took the sticks which he had peeled, borohotim, heim rehite amoichim, with straps. Heim rehite amoichim, this refers to the straps of the brain. The Zohar HaKadosh says, the mitzvah of tefillin, we put the tefillin shel roish onto our head with a strap. That represents the seatbelt, in a sense, of the brain. That which contains the moichin and keeps them in perfect place. They shouldn't go out of bounds at all, past where they're supposed to get, and that they should develop properly 100%. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where it says, Melech Osur Borohotim, a king who is tied up in straps. And the Zohar Kodesh says, Borehite Moichen. This refers to the Jews strapping the king, strapping Hashem onto themselves with the Ritzuas of Tefillin. That Kavioch, that's how a person straps Hashem into their brain. Kamashikosu beZohar Kodesh. Hainu sheYaakov hitzig v'tochav es hamaklois. Yaakov Inu showed and stuck these sticks into the mud. Shehem b'chinas chidushet hatoyro shechidesh v'gila b'sechel emes niflo v'noyro kozer. These three sticks symbolize the new sechel, the chidushet Torah and everything that the tzaddik brought forth into the world. Hitzig v'tochavoysom borehitim. He stuck them in with straps, like he tied them in real tight. B'seich rehite moichin shel talmidov hamiskarv melov, inside of the brains of the students whom he's teaching, and their brains have these straps around them, in a sense, to strap in the seichel. V'sehu vayatzeg. This is why it says he showed it, like he made a performance. Yaakov Avinu put these sticks there up on stage, in a sense, for the sheep to look at. Daiko shehitzig v'tochav chidushim sheloi hu amitiim borohotim b'soich rehitim ochin shavahem sheyutchuvim bohem bo'eme godol. The tzaddik takes his sechel and sticks it in real deep into the brains of his students. He inserts it really, really deep inside. Ad shelo yeh koyach l'shum toz shel hamedame lahavirom, to the point where no medame, no lovan, will be able to come on afterwards and throw this student off his horse, in a sense, knock him off track. Ki kvar hemevinim ho emes heite, because the students of the tzaddik emes have been given an understanding of the emes, a very, very good understanding of the emes, where they can't be fooled anymore by any baloney. The expression that we gave, that Rabbeinu once said, I've given you the Hungarian wine to taste, nobody's going to be able to give you any other junk, you know, to drink. You're not going to be able to be fooled by anything of lesser quality, because you've tasted the real thing. This applies to the type of Torah that the Tzaddik Emes gives to his Talmidim, which goes deep, deep inside the person, and the person develops a realization of Emes and a taste for Emes, where they can't be fooled anymore by anything that's of lesser quality, anything that's got medame mixed into it. Vezehu borehitim b'shikasoy samoyim. It says that Yaakov Avinu strapped those sticks into place, in the place where the sheep were coming to drink. He stuck it into the mud there and strapped it into place like. Borehite moichim. This means in the straps that surround the brain, b'mokim sheshoisin meimei ha-toira v'adas, the source from which students draw Torah and wisdom. Shom hitzig es hamakloys hanefluim sheloi. That's where the tzaddik emes stuck in his sticks, b'chinas hasichli es hamitim sheloi, which means his seichel, his version of the Torah, shemechavnin es ha'odam b'chol eis l'derech ha-yoshor, which guide a person and force the person to remain on track on the Derech HaYosher, kemoi hamakal shemechavin esuadorim el Derech HaYosher, like the sticks that a shepherd uses to make sure the sheep stay in line and they go on the path that he wants them to go on. The Tzaddik Emes also uses his sechel, his sticks and straps, in a sense, to keep his students, to put his students onto a firm track of a Derech HaYosher, whereby they're able to remain walking along on that straight path. Exactly.
It's straps, but it's also the pathways or the...
Trough is a good word, I think. Like that indented piece of ground where you're forced to go on, you know, you can't...
So he sticks in his makel, his Torah, into the very pathways of our
brains.
He seated the makel in the form of him, so there's only him.
That's why I had the Rabbi Kaplan's Chumash, and I wanted to see the exact definition of
the Chumash of the Baal Shem Tov of the Ari's Torah that people didn't necessarily have before that. Not in another form, but only after this time. that it's a conceptual way of seeing the Torah of the Ari without having to refer to almost like physicalized objects. It's a mental process. So then you can see the concept of the Olamot in a much more
down-to-earth kind of way.
Is there an idea that these traps make up in our brain?
Yes. So yes. This concept of a trough that forces something to go on a certain track and doesn't allow it to go off track.
So seat belts is a fantastic explanation, and also and also pathways. If the mind follows certain pathways now, in order to stay out of trouble, to not get pushed outside of the boundaries.
Exactly.
Now, recruiting the Lachas on Tefillin, do they talk about this also relates to Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, that they get into different straps and different things?
Rav Nosson Zal speaks about Rashi, Tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam. He does give some explanations about it, why we have them and what the different things that they represent.
I've run down things in his translation.
Book on Tefillin, yeah.